Welcome to the Middle East Report Special Edition. I'm John Riley. The Middle East, that's one part of the world that we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel, but in other places around the Middle East as well. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, those are just some of the things that we cover each and every week on the Middle East Report. The main purpose of the Middle East Report Special Edition is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. And the best way to do that is to connect with the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word. And I try to help you do that each week on the Middle East Report Special Edition. Thank you for listening. You know, in the news, often you hear about the country of Iran. And unfortunately, a lot of times the things that you hear about Iran, it's not good. Chief sponsor of terrorism and how they want to wipe Israel off of the face of the earth. And, you know, they certainly don't like the United States. We all know that. But the things that you don't hear about happening in Iran are what God is doing in that particular country, because God is moving tremendously in the country of Iran. And we have somebody on the show today who knows a whole lot about that and is directly connected to what is going on in the country of Iran. Lana is the CEO of Transform Iran, a ministry that is impacting the kingdom in a big, big way. Lana, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report Special Edition.
Thank you for having me, John.
Well, Lana, Transform Iran, that's the ministry that we are highlighting today, and that's the ministry that you're a part of. Tell us about Transform Iran and what you guys do.
Thank you. Yes, we have been operating as a ministry amongst Iranians for more than three decades now. It was in the late 80s that the Lord called my mom and dad, Lazarus and Maggie Yegnazar, out of Iran to establish this ministry. When he first called them out, they didn't know what the call was for. They just knew he was saying they needed to leave the country. And honestly, John, they were very resistant. That was about 10 years after the regime had changed, the Islamic Republic of Iran had been established. It was also just when the war with Iraq had ended. Things were shifting in Iran. Persecution was intensifying. And the church really needed them there. So they felt that maybe they were off track. But as they both started to hear from the Lord separately, they realized he was absolutely speaking to them and saying, you need to leave. They took that news to the overseeing pastor of the church, Reverend Haik Hovsepian Meir, who I know as Uncle Haik. He was my dad's best friend, a close member, close friend of our whole family. And when they spoke to Brother Haik, they said, he said, you must have heard wrong. We need you here in Iran. And they were delighted with that response. So they let it be. But that night, Brother Haik had a dream. And in his dream, God spoke to him and said, you need to release Lazarus and Maggie to leave the country. I have other things for them to do. And it needs to be quick. So I remember the disruption of it all. He came knocking on the door early hours of the morning saying, you heard right the first time. God's confirmed it to me in a dream. You need to leave. And there's a sense of urgency to it. And I don't really know why. So within a few months, we had left Iran. And after we came out of Iran, then the Lord began to speak to them again and said, I've brought you out because the church is about to be driven underground. Persecution is going to intensify to much greater degrees. And I'm going to need you here outside the country so you can resource and mobilize a global church to support the growing church in Iran, so you can pastor and mentor a growing church in Iran and see my kingdom extended through the country. And that's what they've been doing.
That's an amazing story. Now, how old were you when you left Iran with your parents?
I was almost 10. It was extremely turbulent those months. You know, we didn't know, they didn't know, so let alone a 9, 10-year-old girl had no idea why we were moving, except that we were moving in obedience to the call of the Lord. That's been a formative part of my life. Ever since God has called me and then me and my husband through the years in different directions and always just, you know, he lights the path ahead, but he doesn't give us the whole picture. And I love that right from the beginning, God set that precedence in my life that we obey and we don't need to know what all the steps are and where it's all leading. So I remember it. I remember the urgency of it. You know, you can't take anything with you when you leave the country. They search you, they search your bags. So it literally was a case of leaving it all behind and stepping away and waiting for the Lord to clarify the rest. And then when we came to Europe, then as God gave us the rest, then it formed most of my preteens and teens, where we traveled across Europe as a family and we ran conferences and events that brought together the growing diaspora, particularly of Christians at that time from Iran, who had left for a whole range of reasons, but whose hearts were still back in Iran, who were wanting to make a difference and didn't know how. And God, in his grace, brought us all together, gave us a common vision, and he told us to focus on people, raise leaders, leaders that will raise leaders, that will raise leaders, that this discipleship movement that will grow, that will resource a very fast-growing church that needs leaders who can disciple, who can teach from the word, who can make sure that everyone grows with roots deep in the word of God. So those were my teens, and I'm so privileged to have been part of that. We went from country to country, and it was so exciting to see the response and the unity. And then as the Lord put more flesh to the bones, 222 Ministries was born back then, based on 2 Timothy 2:2, which is a classic discipleship verse. And then last year, God spoke to us again and told us that he was asking us to think much broader in terms of transforming a nation. And so we renamed the organization to Transform Iran.
Well, there are a lot of different aspects of Transform Iran, and you can find out more about what they're doing when you go to transformiran.com. That's transformiran.com. You've got evangelism, you've got discipleship, you have church planting, you've got Bible translation, you have digital ministries, just to mention a few. And we definitely are going to talk about, you know, those different aspects of the ministry of Transform Iran with Lana, who is the CEO of that ministry. But can you talk a little bit about the challenge of reaching the people of Iran with the gospel? There's people groups, there's languages, there's hopelessness there, there's threats to the church there in Iran and those who would proclaim the gospel. I mean, they can be thrown into prison, they can be, I think, even killed, you know, if they are proclaiming the gospel, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's illegal for Iranians to leave Islam for any reason. And the punishment for that is death. That's the legal code in Iran. So it's no surprise for Iranians when they do leave Islam that they expect persecution and they do receive it. There are multiple challenges in ministry in a country like this. Of course, access becomes the first, because the government is controlling what the people have access to information-wise. Websites and media from outside the country are illegal. The government is forever trying to limit people's ability to get information from outside the country. Censorship is a real thing. And then when we pass the barrier of access, then we have to consider, as you mentioned, for example, languages. Iran has a whole range, a tapestry of cultures and languages. It's not all one language, Farsi or Persian, which is the language that most people will be familiar with. But there are more than 39 different languages for more than 78, 79 different people groups across the country. And only four of these languages have the Bible: Farsi, the national language, Armenian, Azeri, and Assyrian. After that, there may be portions, but many of these languages don't even have portions of the scriptures. So there are additional challenges then in how do we make sure that we present the gospel in a way to people that they fully understand and embrace it. Many of these other people groups will understand Farsi, but Farsi is the formal governmental language of Iran, and it represents so much oppression for some of these ethnic groups, because the government is forever trying to control all sorts of expression, not just religious expression, but culture and language and the arts. So all these different ethnic minorities are being trampled on, and even things like teaching their own languages in their schools or wearing their national dress on their streets are limited. So then when you come in and present the gospel to them in Farsi, you're creating barriers to connection that don't need to be there. So that's another challenge for you there, John, is language. Can we make sure that we present the gospel in people's own language, in their own sound? We call it the heart language, the language that connects with your soul. So we have those two challenges. And then there's the challenge of safety and security. It may be that we've already overcome both of these, but perhaps people have accessed it, they have understood it, but maybe there's a security threat. How can they then connect with this word without risking their lives? Bear in mind, a lot of the times, this is early stages of just testing, curiosity, seeking. So they're not perhaps ready to give their lives just yet, but they want to know more. So we have to be creative in the different ways in which we communicate to make sure people have a way to anonymously access the gospel and in their own time, in their own space, listen, digest, and then we give it the opportunity for it to take root and for them to respond to it. There are more, but you probably already have questions, John, so I'll take a breather.
Well, all the information you are sharing is absolutely incredible, Lana. And, you know, you mentioned the heart language of the people and getting the word of God into the heart language of those people. How are you doing that?
We have a whole team of Bible translators that are working together to make sure that these 26 plus million Iranians who don't have the Bible in their language have it. So first of all, it's a case of identifying the language. We spent a couple of years just researching what are all, because, you know, these languages, John, are so diverse and you could continue to split them by dialect for as long as you want. Some organizations will say there are hundreds of languages in Iran. We've spent a lot of time researching and we brought it down to the 39 core that will solve this issue of the heart connection. And now we're going through thinking, right, who speaks which language? What are the right sounds to each language? What are the right instruments? Because it's one thing to translate the word. You can have it sitting on a shelf for years if you're not careful. There's a lot of illiteracy in some of these communities. And then there's the question of access. Most of these communities, the way they connect to the outside world is through radio. So we need to make sure that we then take these translations and we dramatize them. And we make sure when we do that, that we're careful of accents, we're careful of what sounds, instruments and musical types that we're using, genres in the background, so that when people are tuning in on their radios out and, you know, you've got that mental image, don't you, of the farmer sitting out with his sheep and he's dialing into the radio, that's not dissimilar to what happens today in Iran, then that person will suddenly hear his own language in the right accent with the right sounds and suddenly hear the words of life be spoken over him. So that's how it begins.
That's beautiful. Now, you mentioned radio. Is this international radio that's getting into Iran that you're talking about, international Christian radio, or how is that working? Because I thought they blocked everything.
They do try to block things all the time. We have to be mindful, and we have IT specialists that are working around all of this. For radio, we partner with Transworld Radio, who are wonderful friends and partners of ours, and they give us access to the infrastructure that they already have in place. We then provide the content. So with our partnership with TWR, we have PWR, Persian World Radio, and we have also just last month launched PWR, Persian Worship Radio, which is just 24/7 worship. And so then we can concentrate on what we do best, which is creating content, and then the follow-up, of course. Every kind of media that we produce, John, there is always the opportunity for people to call us, email us, contact us on social media. And then when they do, we have a follow-up team who's trained to receive those calls and walk people through to salvation and then into discipleship. So we provide that side of it, and TWR, our friends, provide the infrastructure to make sure the radio is broadcast all over the country.
I love that. And Transform Iran is all about the gospel. If you go to their website, transformiran.com, you're going to find that out really, really quickly. They are all about the gospel and getting the gospel, the word of God, into a closed country like Iran, where there are underground churches, but the church is alive in Iran. And coming up on the next segment, we're going to talk about, Lana, how the church growth rate there in Iran is just exploding. I mean, God is moving in such a big way in the country of Iran. And honestly, Lana, you don't hear about this. You don't hear about this in the news.
No, it's such a great shame, John. And this is the reason why I'm keen to talk to friends like you and make sure that our global Christian family is aware, because I think sometimes we pray for things and we can pray uninformed. And there may be a whole host of people who are praying into the Middle East and praying from an expectation that that these walls are so high and insurmountable and we can't get the word out. That's not the case. We're getting the word out and the Iranians are hearing it and they're hungry. So then suddenly prayer becomes even more exciting because you're praying into something that is happening and you're partnering with the work of the Holy Spirit and seeing it all take place right before your eyes.
Lana, that is beautiful. And I want to encourage you to please connect with Transform Iran. You can do that when you go to transformiran.com. That's transformiran.com. When we come back, we're going to hear reports of supernatural conversions happening in Iran. We're going to find out how the church is doing in Iran and so much more. You're listening to the Middle East Report Special Edition. I'm John Riley.
Sometimes it can be hard to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at afr.net.
Welcome back to the Middle East Report Special Edition. I just want to remind you to download a podcast of the show. You can go to afr.net, click on the podcast tab. The show, the Middle East Report Special Edition, is also available wherever you get your podcast and all the major podcast platforms out there. We're talking about how God is moving in the country of Iran. God is doing so many amazing things, and we have Lana with us. Lana is the CEO of Transform Iran. And Lana, we are hearing reports, and I often hear this in the news, about how Iran has some of the fastest church growth rates in the world. We're hearing about reports of supernatural conversions, Iranians having dreams and healings and visions. Can you tell us about what's going on with the church and the body of Christ in Iran?
John, this is all true. The church in Iran is growing at an incredibly rapid rate, and the people in Iran are hungry and open for the gospel. And it's so exciting to be part of that at this time in history for Iran. I think one of the main reasons why the church is growing so quickly, besides the grace of God and His supernatural work, is the fact that as people are coming to know the life-saving love of Jesus in their lives, they cannot keep it to themselves. And so they immediately share it with those around them. And those around them are impacted by the love of Jesus, and their lives are transformed. And it continues with this ripple effect. I could share story after story for you how two become 140, one becomes 190. These people are reproducing themselves in the way that Jesus encouraged us to in the Gospels. And this is why the church is growing so quickly.
Well, how about sharing just a few of the stories about what's going on there in Iran? And obviously, we're going to be careful about how we do that, of course. But what are some of the impact stories there of some of the churches there in Iran, and what you see from your vantage point of God doing there in the country of Iran?
First of all, we see God Himself working. We all know that God doesn't need us for anything that He does. And in a place that is so dark and difficult, then that's where the light shines so much brighter. And we see God directly communicating with genuine Muslims whose heart is for truth, for serving and obeying God. Allah just means God in Arabic. And when they're genuine in that pursuit, they find Jesus. So that's the first thing. Credit has to go to God for the work that He is doing. And then we get to have the privilege to partner with Him and make sure that we gather this harvest in the way that He instructs us to, and to look after it and make sure that it's Bible-based as people are growing. So let me give you a story. There's a lady in our ministry who suffered early marriage. It's very normal for Iranian women to be married off pre-teens, if not early teens. She was 13 when she was forced into marriage. She had three children through her teenage years, very committed Muslim extended family. A whole series of events took her to a point where she became a single mom in her 20s. Her husband, her brother, and her father were murdered by the government. And she pushed even harder into her Muslim faith, thinking, I must have had sin in my life that's led to all this pain around me. Through that process, Jesus began to speak to her. He began to appear to her in visions, and He would stand in her doorway and call her to Himself and say, trust me, come follow me, trust me. And she was completely bewildered by what was happening. As she began to say her Muslim prayers one day, every time she went to say Muhammad, the name Jesus would come out of her mouth, and she didn't understand why. And every time she tried again, Jesus would come out. Of course, we know that the name of Jesus is powerful. And the more she said Jesus as she was praying, the more he touched her heart, and she gave her life to the Lord. Then there's a whole lot of persecution that she faced that we don't have time to go in now. But she eventually had to escape the country. She had to leave her children behind. There's a whole story there as well. In Iran, women do not have rights to their own children. And we caught her in Turkey when she escaped. And we mentored her, discipled her. She was already part of our network and gave her an opportunity to be part of the growing church in the diaspora. Now this lady, when she was sharing her testimony with me, she was saying, you know, I lost 3 children in that, but I gained 195, because she now disciples 195 people who have got saved through her ministry, her digital ministry, back in Iran. And a couple of these people she met in the streets in Turkey. So this is how this all these roads interconnect. Iranians go to Turkey on vacation all the time. It's one of the few countries that can do so without a visa. And we have ministry teams who are looking for Iranians on vacation to meet with them on the streets there, share the gospel. And many times right there on the streets, they get saved. So this lady did exactly that a couple years ago. And there were 2 couples that were on vacation in Turkey. She ministered to them. They gave their lives to the Lord and they got saved. And then they ended up staying with her in Turkey for a couple of years, where she discipled them and baptized them. And then they went back to Iran. Now those 4 people have become 140 people in Iran. They've witnessed to the communities around them. Churches have been planted and they are busy looking after their flock. And this is how the church is rapidly growing, because people are each actively pursuing the things of God and outspoken in their faith in him.
That is a beautiful story of what God is doing through the ministry of Transform Iran. And you can find out more when you go to transformiran.com. Evangelism, discipleship, church planting, Bible translation, digital ministries, those are just a few of the things that are going on with Transform Iran, and I really encourage you to connect with them, to pray for that ministry. There is a lot of ways for you to do that. And, you know, on the church planting side of what you do, there are churches being planted in Iran right now. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, that's correct, all the time. But it's not the kind of church planting that we envision when we talk about it in the West, where we take a couple people, take them through seminary, and then deploy them to a certain town or city. The way churches are naturally born in Iran is through the witness of individuals. So somebody will come to know the Lord, perhaps in a vision or a dream, or through media that they've seen that we've put out. We use TV, radio, social media. They'll connect with the gospel and they'll call into our call center and ask for more information. Our counselors catch them there and share the gospel with them. And they invite those people then on a year-long journey where they can meet weekly to learn more about Jesus. So evangelism then leads to discipleship, because through that process, those people will connect to the love of Jesus personally and surrender to him as Lord and Savior. Then the discipleship continues. Normally what will happen, maybe 3, 4, maybe 6 months into that journey, is our counselor will call in for their weekly discipleship call. And the person in Iran will say, everything you have been telling me has completely changed my life. And I have been telling my friends and my family, and I hope you don't mind, but I have 30 of them gathered in my living room now, and you're on speaker and we all want to know. So now suddenly this person who was a seeker and then a convert and then a disciple is now a pastor. And now our relationship with them evolves, and we continue to pour into them and help them as young pastors in how to lead this group that they've led to the Lord. And the journey continues over years in a whole range of ways. But this is how churches are planted all the way through the country in Iran, and this is how they're growing.
That is a beautiful story of what God is doing there in the country of Iran. And one thing that we have to remember, and as you're listening today, all of these pastors and those who are proclaiming the gospel or having that relationship with the Lord, they are under threat. They are under threat there in the country of Iran simply because they believe in a risen Savior, because they believe in Jesus and are, you know, reading the Word of God. So we need to be praying for them. And you know, I have a suggestion, Lana, for everybody who's listening today. When you hear something in the news about Iran, and we hear a lot of stuff going on about Iran, negative stuff, obviously, because of the regime that's there. When you hear about that, make it a point to pray for the church in Iran. Do that, because God is moving in a big way. And how can people pray specifically for the church there in Iran?
I would say if people are serious about praying, then it really helps to be informed. So yes, pick up on the news channels, follow through. Various news channels will give you the opportunity to subscribe to news updates based on the region or the country. We send a monthly update on the first of the month by email, and listeners can go on our website, transformiran.com, and find the newsletter and sign up to that. And in there, we share specific prayer needs as well. So if you want to really drill down to what the church in Iran is needing, maybe there's been an attack on the Bible translation team. Maybe our satellite TV has been blocked. Maybe our websites have been hacked. There are all sorts of practical things that need prayer cover. And we share those sometimes as they're happening. Sometimes we preempt. So we might be due to gather a whole group of underground church leaders for some secret training. We don't give details for those, but we tell you that it's upcoming and we need covering in prayer. And those are exciting ways to really get your teeth into praying for a country like Iran when you know what's happening and you're really getting into the detail of it.
I want to encourage you to connect with Transform Iran. And just as Lana was sharing, they have this beautiful newsletter that they share that will give you the practical ways that you can pray for those in Iran. And they have a lot of other outreaches, not just there in the country of Iran, but all around the world, specifically to Iranians. And I want to just encourage you, please pray for this ministry because they are doing an incredible work there in that part of the world. And anything else that our listeners need to know about Transform Iran, Lana, before we let you go? I appreciate what you are doing with your evangelism, discipleship, church planting, Bible translation, digital ministries, and a whole host of other things going on there.
Yes, there is a lot happening, and it's all by the grace of God. And you know, most of it is because of our commitment to developing leaders. So over the course of the last 30 years, as leaders have come through the ministry, then different visions evolve. Oh, we could do this, we could do that, and we get behind them. As long as it's aimed at bringing Jesus's love and power to the people of Iran, then we get behind their personal vision, and this is how it grows. But I want to give your listeners some encouragement. We hear so much, as you said earlier, John, negativity in the world. And you know, we don't always see what God is doing. God is working. He is active. And sometimes we think he's not, only because we don't hear of the things that he's doing. So in this instance, I can encourage you all and say, God is working in Iran, in a country that looks so completely committed to evil and to causing destruction. Actually, behind the scenes, God is doing a beautiful thing through the gentle but powerful love of our Savior Jesus. So be encouraged and pray for it and know that it's happening.
I love that. That is a great way to conclude the Middle East Report special edition and connect with Transform Iran, transformiran.com. Transformiran.com is where you can get more information about what God is doing right there. That's the Middle East Report special edition. I'm John Riley, and we want to thank Lana for joining us today. Download a podcast of the show at AFR.net. Click on the podcast tab. Thank you for listening. We're going to call that a wrap.